Okay. Well, let's go to work. Paper number two, Harlan, go ahead. I should also announce that this is your last attendance at these meetings. You're leaving the IASB in a week?
Yes.
Okay. And you have paper two, and then one of the later papers. Our tradition is that everybody has to be nice. Call ahead. Take it away, please.
The issue in agenda paper two relates to the expected manner of recovery of indefinite life intangible assets that the committee had discussed in its last meeting. Although the committee agreed that paragraphs 51 and 51A of IASB is applicable to situations mentioned in the submission, the staff was asked to clarify the interaction between how an asset is amortized and the required...
Let's stop. We're getting a lot of feedback from one connection. Can we make sure that everyone is set on mute, please? That seems to have fixed it.
I'll start again. The issue in agenda paper two relates to the expected manner of recovery of indefinite life intangible assets that the committee discussed at its last meeting. Although the committee agreed that paragraphs 51 and 51A of IAS 12 is applicable to situations mentioned in the submission, the staff was asked to clarify the interaction between how an asset is amortized and the requirements in paragraphs 51 and 51A. In paragraphs 14 to 18 of our paper, we have analyzed why an indefinite life intangible asset is not amortized and how that non-amortization interacts with the recovery of the asset. Based on our analysis, we are of the view that an indefinite life intangible asset could be expected to be recovered through use even though such an asset is not amortized. A revised tentative agenda decision reflecting our analysis and conclusion is provided in Appendix A of the paper. We would like to emphasize that in the agenda decision, we do not suggest a preference for either recovery through use or through sale. We think that an entity could expect to recover an indefinite life intangible asset through sale, but that decision is based on applying paragraph 51 and 51A rather than 51B. Similarly, an entity could expect to recover the carrying amount through use, and that again would be based on applying paragraphs 51 and 51A of IAS 12. The question for the committee are on page 8 of the paper. That is whether the committee agrees with the staff recommendation and the tentative agenda decision. So with that, I hand over for discussion.
Question for you, just to make it clear in my mind. What we're saying is there is no default position. You don't automatically assume sale or automatically assume use.
Yes.
It has to be a position that can be documented based on management's expectations, plans, actions, things like that.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Comments? Reactions? Again, I can see you if you raise your hand, or at least most of you. Reinhardt?
Thanks, Wayne. Hopefully you can hear me.
Clearly.
On the one hand, I don't object to what the agenda decision says, but what I thought would have been helpful is to look at what the underlying basis is for IAS 12 paragraph 51B. I agree with the staff analysis that an indefinite intangible asset is not the same as a non-depreciable asset. But having said that, I would have thought that the reason why the board came to the conclusion that a non-depreciable asset like land should be the deferred taxes should be set up at a sale rate, as discussed in BC 6 of IS 12. Some of those criteria or some of those underlying circumstances are somewhat analogous to the situation where we have an indefinite life intangible asset. And so I guess what I'm troubled with is, personally, I have some difficulty with not being able to analogize to 51B. Again, I agree, an indefinite life intangible asset is not a non-depreciable asset, but in, as they say in BC6, the board says the reason why there's a presumption that land, which is the illustrative asset in 51B, would be recovered through sale is because the recognition of depreciation implies that the carrying amount of the depreciable asset is expected to be recovered through use, the extent of its depreciable amount, and through sale at its residual value. Consistent with this, the carrying amount of a non-depreciable asset such as land with indefinite life will be only recovered through sale. And similarly, because indefinite life assets are not really consumed through use, I would have thought that there is merit to an analogy to 51B.
Okay.
Do you want to come back on that?
I think that's where we kind of looked at IS 38 and the reasons why an indefinite life intangible asset is not amortized. And like it was acknowledged when IS 38 was amended, that an indefinite life intangible asset is not amortized, not because it's not used, but because arbitrarily having a useful life is does not faithfully represent the amortization. And I think that is the basis wherein we have kind of analyzed in this paper to reach our conclusions.
Other committee members?
I just want to say that I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion, but I just want to say one more thing in addition to that, which is that the concept of the how a carrying value is recovered, explained in this agenda paper, is a kind of very important for some people who recently adopted IFRS, just like Korea. The Korea adopted IFRS about 5 years ago, but not many people understand how a carrying value is recovered. Here in this staff paper, the staff says that the recovery of a carrying value is not related with amortization, but related with how a future benefit, economic benefit, flows into the company. And not many people, I actually talked with many Korean experts in accounting, they don't really understand this concept yet. And I think that this concept is also related with the other areas such as the deemed cost. So for example, if an entity or company used a fair value for the land as a deemed cost, and if the fair value of the land is different from the acquisition cost of the land, then the effect of this, the deemed cost would be almost the same as the effect of the indefinite life intangible assets. So what I'm trying to say is that, the concept explained in this agenda paper should be clearly transported to the readers. So I just want to say that maybe we can add some sentence onto this agenda paper to make it clear how we define the recovery of the carrying value of an asset.
Okay, can you send us a suggestion on that?
Well, if I say one thing, what I'm going to do is to add one sentence onto the fifth paragraph of the agenda decision. The fifth paragraph on page 9 consists of two sentences. What I'm suggesting is to insert one sentence in between those two. So just in front of the word consequently, maybe we can add this sentence. This means that the recovery of the carrying amount of an asset is not dependent upon whether the asset is amortized or not. So by inserting that sentence, we can make clear that amortization is not what has no relationship with the recovery of the carrying value of an asset.
Okay. Do I have any objections to adding a sentence like that? We may wordsmith it a little bit, but I think we take your meaning. Okay. Other comments? Tony, here in London.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with.
Okay, you're on.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm comfortable with where the staff got to. I don't have any additional thoughts on the agenda decision. My sense is that it's entirely possible for management to conclude that it will recover an indefinite-lived intangible asset through use if it intends to use it forever until such time as the value begins to be consumed the way IS 38 envisages. So I think the staff has got to a sensible position. One observation on the additional sentence, just need to make sure it doesn't contradict what we're saying and just say that the manner of recovery is not related to amortization, it just doesn't contradict what we would do with land. So yeah. just need to be sure we're not contradicting any other aspect of IS 12.
Others? John, I think I see you waving your hand.
You do indeed. Yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with where the staff has got to in the agenda decision. I do think the sentence that Jung Soo has suggested be added would help to sort of clarify the link or the absence of a link between amortization and the expected manner of recovery, which I think is at the heart of the question that was asked in the submission. So I would support the addition of that sentence to make that crystal clear.
Okay. Andrew?
I'm also fairly comfortable with where the staff have got to. I think that the agenda decision does make it clear that you need to give some thought to this. So if you have an indefinite life intangible and you're expecting to use it for an indefinite period, then that would probably take you down one particular route. I did have one drafting point on the agenda decision. In the fourth paragraph in the last line, last sentence, we have, consequently, the requirements in paragraphs 51B of IS 12 don't apply to indefinite life intangibles. And I thought that would probably sit better at the end of the following paragraph, because it links in better to the discussion in that one.
Okay, I'm seeing heads nodding from the staff, so we'll take that on board. I think we had some internal editing as well that we thought about during our discussion yesterday. And a later paper on taxes, okay. All right, one last call for hand waving. There may be a couple of you I can't see on the screen, so I'll give everybody the opportunity to say, oh, may I, me.
Hi, Wayne, calling the phone.
Okay, please go ahead.
Yeah, just to say I'm comfortable with the wording of the agenda decision.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, are there any objections to where we are on the agenda decision with a couple of wording adjustments that have been proposed? Ask you to raise your hand if you object. All right, I don't see any. You'll see the revised version and update. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have to be nice to you again, but later in the meeting.